aliens to ghosts, demons to angels, and from shadow people to the outlandish, Heidi Hollis is the Outlander.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to me, Heidi Hollis, the Outlander. Yes, I'm sitting in the air conditioning. I don't know if you guys can hear it humming, but I had to turn it on full blast today because it's just melting. But I wanted to tell you guys that this show is about bringing outlandish and interesting topics to the forefront. I don't care if it's aliens, Bigfoot, shadow people, or the Hat Man. I always say if it's weird, we're here, and so are you, so you're just as strange as I am. It's okay. If you don't know who I am, I will challenge you to go to my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com. I always say I'm someone who's been there, seen that, experienced it, freaked out, found some answers, wrote about it, got over it, and now I'm trying to help all of the rest of the peeps of the world do the same darn thing. Because this world is challenging. I am so serious. But when you go to my main website, HeidiHollis.com, you will see Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Yes, I've got YouTube up there. You know, it's so funny. Just recently, I have a YouTube channel. Yes, I do. But I haven't really been maintaining it for a little bit. Because I got just like so much going on. Life has been busy. What can you say? But, I guess I'm going to start having to post more up there because some people have been like, dude, why aren't you keeping up with this? I'm like, dude, because I've been crazy, just a little crazy, and my head's falling off and all that stuff. but I want to tell you guys also how you can hear this program, as you hear between commercials and stuff, is there's a wonderful IRN app for Inception Radio Network. And I know most of you guys do use it. Yeah, you go to your app store and get the IRN app. It's free. It's awesome. I'm on there, so you guys will love it. And you could also do what my parents do, because a lot of people don't sit there on their computers, and it's okay, Joe. All is forgiven. He just said sorry about that. Oh, boy. Sinners. What are you going to do with sinners? It's okay. Joe's awesome. I like Joe. I have a secret crush on Joe. The world knows now. So you guys can hear this program by phone. Just dial a number, and you will hear those numbers in between the commercials, too. One of them is 1-832-280-0830 or 786-837-2262. And I want to tell you guys, since I am not chicken of you, at all, I welcome you guys to feel free to call during the program at any point, 1-888-919-2355, or Skype your comments and questions to Inception Radio Network. Just type that into your Skype, and you shall get your messages sent to me. And also, go into the chat room where I'm going to flitter on over to soon. Is that a word, flitter? I just made it up. I'm going to flitter on over there in a minute. And, yeah, people are posting and chatting and having a good old time in there. I love the chat room. I'm a little delayed in getting over there, but I will be there, I promise. I swear to God. And also, I want to tell you guys, this is, I do this thing called the Outlandish Corner. What is the Outlandish Corner? The Outlandish Corner is where I take your comments and questions, and I read them out loud for the world to hear, and I do my best to apply some common sense knowledge on the paranormal to all of you, just because, I don't know, I thought it'd be nice to do, so I do. So I welcome you guys to write me at dusoutlander@gmail.com or go to my Facebook page, which is put a 1 in front of Heidi Hollis, and feel free to send your questions and stories and all that stuff over there. Oh, and there's a new number. I am being told there's a new number also for people to be calling into, but where is it? Another number you guys could be calling in, 401-283-6700, just so you know. So I'm going to get to the Outlandish Corner, and I'm going to see what we got here, because Boy, I got a lot of them. Okay. Well, I don't know. Sometimes people will send me more than once an email, so I'm trying to make sure that I am not going to do that. But, you know, before I get to this first story, I've got to tell you guys something. So my new book, The Hat Man, The True Story of Evil Encounters, is blowing up the charts. That's all I could say. Just boom, boom, boom. Go check it out. The Hat Man. What is that? Well, gosh, it seems to be 90% of the emails that I get these days. And I want you guys to do me a favor. My goal, I would love to have feedback from you guys. At least, let's do this. At least 100 book reviews placed on Amazon for the Hat Man book. Why do I say that? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I first came forward with the whole topic of shadow people, it was made fun of. It was thought to not be real. It was thought to be science fiction. And I was on my own in putting the word out there against all odds. And guess what? The same holds true for the Hat Man phenomenon. For the most part, most people do not know that this is a real phenomenon. Which, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Unless you're the one who's actually experienced it. Now, what is the Hat Man? I will tell you real brief. He is an entity that likes to show up. He has a black suit, black trench coat, black hat that changes, pale, glowing red eyes, or solid black eyes, pale, and sometimes with a goatee or not. And he just gives a horrible, horrible feeling of dread when he's in one's presence. For the most part, some people like to say, ooh, he gave me goosebumps. I don't really think so. But, hey, to each their own, right? 99.9% of the people say he gives horrible feelings. But maybe at some point he doesn't always terrify them, so then they think he's their friend. So don't ask me. I don't even know what to say. So imagine this. Most of the population doesn't know that this guy exists. And how does a phenomenon or even a book get any kind of attention to know that something is out there unless you guys pay attention? That's how we reach the general population, okay? We can't just sit and fester in our own little corners. We must come forward and take what I call the paranormal pledge and say that you have experienced something or witnessed something or even believe in something. So that's why I'm asking. And I would really, really, really like to have feedback because it helps me know that I'm on the right track and explaining myself well enough in these books. So, again, let's pull together on this, people, okay? The Hat Man book, at least 100 book reviews. I think, what are there, over 250,000 people listening to the show right now. I think we could do this. I think we could. And then, you know, see what would happen as far as bringing the attention to people. Because, you know, it's heart-wrenching to me. I get so many emails still. And I put several of these. I put over 50 stories, just so you know, that you guys haven't heard of in the Hat Man book. Some of the more juicier ones that are really just top-notch in revealing who he is, what he's doing, and why. But I get so many people who say, my goodness, I thought I was alone in experiencing this guy. I was stunned to hear from a friend of a friend, from a friend of a friend of a friend. I heard this lady on the radio saying, that was me usually, hey, the Hat Man is real. I almost passed out. I couldn't believe it. I found you. I wrote you an email. And I'm not alone. Wow. I'm not crazy after 34 years or whatever it is. I mean, how sad is that? So the way that we reach those types of people, you guys can all do this with me, okay? Amazon.com, type in Heidi Hollis, H-E-I-D-I-H-O-L-L-I-S. Look for the Hat Man book or the Secret War book, which also talks about shadow people. And, you know, let's try to get 100 book reviews on there because when you do, Amazon pays attention. The public pays attention. And, you know, what are the top movies out there right now? Oh, gosh, geez, they were books. The Fault in Our Stars and Divergent and all that stuff. So, really, we can do this. And it's not just, it's not, it's to help benefit the planet. So many people are like, oh, you just want to try to make big old piles of cash. Let me tell you, I don't know many people that write on this stuff that can make a living off of it, all right? I still practice as a therapist. Oh, yes, I do. Don't let me catch you because I'll have to give you some therapy. Mm-hmm. So, so there you go, people. So I just had to put that out there because I just got so many emails and it's just always so sad. Ugh. Ugh. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go to the first email. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, boy. Sure, this is a big old name on here. Oh, did I read this one? I don't know this. Maybe not. Let me see. Give me a second. Oh, this is gross. So, okay, I don't think I read this one. Somebody raise your hand if you heard this. It says, Dear Heidi, my name is Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay. I'm writing you from Mississauga. I don't know. Mississauga? Just outside of Ontario, just outside of Toronto in Ontario. I am currently listening to you on a radio show through an app. Oh, I wonder what app that is. IRN app? Your description of the Hat Man seems to fit the description of a figure that appeared in my dream a few months ago. I dubbed the thing I saw in my dream as the Faceless Man. This was by far one of the scariest dreams I've had to date. It woke me up, and I did so in a cold sweat and feeling this immense fear and dread. Nice. You just used that word a minute ago. In the dream, a man in a dark trench blue trench coat, a matching hat like a fedora or a gaucho hat, and a dark red tie was hovering over my bed. I know it was a dream because the room around my bed was not mine and the bed I was lying in was not mine either. But this thing was moving around the bed and either laughing at me or threatening me. His face was white and I know he was quite tall, but I couldn't say just how tall. He seemed to float as he moved quite quickly around me. Sometimes he had narrow vertical black slits for eyes. Ew. And a pink slit for a mouth. But it was as though it was painted on, and they flickered on and off his face. Okay, I got chills. His mouth never moved when he spoke to me. It was more like telepathy, I suppose. He threatened to kill everyone I loved and kept shouting, no, and I kept shouting, no, for him to leave. I tried to hide under the covers, and he appeared underneath the sheets. Oh, that's horrible. Everybody's shuddering out there, I know. Glaring right in my face and laughing at me sinisterly. No matter what I did, I couldn't escape him, and I couldn't leave my bed. When I woke up, I expected to see him standing or floating over me, but the room was dark. I drew this picture on my phone for memory of what he looked like. For a few nights after, I was scared I would see him again in my dream or while awake in my room. But a part of me was curious to see if he would appear again because he seemed so adamant to torment me, and I thought surely that wouldn't be it. But alas, I have not seen him again. I am glad in a way, though, because that truly was one of the most frightful dream experiences I have ever had. Anyways, I'm not sure if this is the Hat Man, but I've had so much trouble trying to figure out who he was. The only other entity that has come close to his description is Slender Man. And I actually had this dream before I knew what Slender Man looked like. Also, this thing didn't have the weird tentacle or spider legs coming out from him like Slender Man. If you could confirm or deny whether what I've described and displayed in my picture is him or not, that would be good. Thank you, Lindsay. Well, Lindsay, oh, let's just scroll back here to the top. You described the Hat Man. Sometimes he changes his duds. And oddly enough, I've had some people describe him with a blue suit, sometimes pinstripe suit, though it's more rare. And red tie, too. That's kind of funny. He could switch it up. And, yeah, sometimes he doesn't have a face connected to his face. The picture that you'd sent, I don't have it sitting here in front of me, but I remember seeing what you described. And, yeah, he's kind of disgusting. And when I have seen, like, people drawing, the Slender Man, you know, a little cartoon character that I mean, come on, it's not a stretch, people. You took the Hat Man, you called it Slender Man. That's just not very original, but okay, sure, we'll just go with that. Yeah, the spider tentacle type tendrils sticking out from the Slender Man. Hat Man has rarely had such things, but shadow people do have that, and shadow people have been seen alongside of the Hat Man. So, shadow spiders, that are just spindly and bleh. And sometimes they really, really take the shape of a spider. Other times it's more like this just sprawling, spewing black blob with just grossness blurting out. You know, it's as if you threw a sponge with black ink and you shot it up against the wall and these little psh went all over, you know, little psh, I don't know what you call it, tentacles. And then they start moving. That's what it kind of looks like. So, and it's been behind the Hat Man. So a lot of people have seen that kind of thing. So when the Slender Man came forward and, oh, he's got these tentacle things, he's not always depicted as that. So, now what's interesting about this, okay, I'm from Milwaukee. That's Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where those two little girls try to slaughter their little friend saying the Slender Man told them to do it. I am really thinking that one of those little girls who had this dream of this Hat Man, not the Slender Man, who is dressed funny, goes and, you know, the kids are pretty quick on the internet, people, and, you know, just Googled, you know, man in a hat, Hat Man pops up, or Slender Man pops up, because it does happen either or. So saw him in my dreams, you know. But then kids hear of these, you know, science fiction characters before we do too. So they probably heard of Slender Man, like, no way, I saw this, you know, and Hat Man does say horrible things. I mean, you felt he was threatening you and saying, that he would kill everyone that you loved and kept shouting. You kept shouting no for him to leave. Of course he didn't. Now, hold your horses, because this is probably like the most terrifying thing, because I get so many emails of people saying, Hat Man showed up and I went under the solace of my blankets. Like the blankets fixed it all, you know, like, oh, they're safe. And then when they pull the blankets down, Hat Man is gone and they're relieved not to have seen him again. But you, poor you, Lindsay, you pull up your blankets and his rotten, stinking, good for nothing face shows up underneath and goes, I mean, I just can't even imagine. I mean, jeez, that is awful. I don't mean to laugh, but my God, that is just, that's wrong. That is wrong. The magic blankets should have the same effect for you as they do for the rest of the population. So I truly apologize that he broke the barrier of the blankets. I don't know how he managed that. I don't think I've had anybody actually write saying that. That's, wow. I don't even know what that's about. So anyways, yeah, I'm so sorry, but, you wanted to know and for me to confirm if this was the Hat Man or Slender Man. Well, Slender Man is fictional. So I'm going to say, it's a Hat Man. And is it the Hat Man? Well, the Hat Man can change his hat just like we can. And, sometimes he shaves and just like some men can, others don't. So, apparently he could change his contacts to be completely black or glowing red. I don't know anybody that could do that. Hold on, coffee break. Oh, that's some good coffee. but yeah, so I don't know. I'm not a person who likes to, you know, stuff truth down somebody's throat. But since you asked, I think it was him. And yeah, he can change it up. And if you actually go to my book called The Hat Man, The True Story of Evil Encounters, I did put a couple of him in there with, different clothing, very much like what you described. And people questioning, was it him? Because I don't know. He does not look exactly like other people describe him. So, I think you did. I think you did meet him. Now, did you say how long ago this was? Let me see. I don't see you. Oh, just a few months ago. Oh, poor you. Ugh. So he hasn't showed up again. I'm glad. I hope he doesn't show up again. And one thing I want to talk about too, because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I didn't really see him. I just had a dream of him. And I, you know, that the impact of him being there in person or in a dream seems to be just as powerful. I don't think I've ever spoken about that, but it really does seem to be that people are no less moved whether they're face to face with him or in their dream. Because those dreams seem so real. They feel so threatened. They feel so nervous and scared that it's not really translated as being, you know, an outright dream until, whoa, you wake up. You know, another thing that's kind of interesting to me, it's like you said that you weren't in your room and you weren't in your bed. This kind of transportation like that is actually something I've heard of, and it's actually kind of something I experienced once, and I would go into details because it's kind of funny. I find most things funny, so pardon me. Just because I have been absolutely terrorized and terrified so much in my life, I had to learn to laugh at it because otherwise it'll drive you cuckoo. And cuckoo is not good. What's it? Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? It's not in reality to go cuckoo and to be okay with it. It's just not. So you should, you have to find coping skills and crying, bawling your eyes out. Some people do that. I laugh and I think that's more fun. Just, it doesn't make ruin your makeup either. So maybe you should follow after me. I don't know. But, anyways, here goes my story. Once upon a time, I shared a bedroom with my younger sister and we shared a queen size bed. So, this one night, gosh, how old was I? I had to be, I don't know, 12 and she had to be about 10. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was 13, who knows. So we both woke up at the same time because we just, I don't know, we both felt like something was wrong and different. And I'm like, you know, and we sat up at the same time. I'm like, what woke you up? I don't know. What woke you up? I don't know. You know, it was weird. And we looked around the room and like, I could barely see her next to me. I'm like, it's really dark in here. And it's like, yeah, it is. It's like, I don't remember the room ever being this dark. I mean, it was pitch black. I could not really make out my sister. I couldn't make out my own hand. And we just knew something was off. And so it's like, well, one of us should go turn on the closet light, you know, in a big walk-in closet. Of course, I'm the older sister, so I volunteered. I go, I mean, creeping out of bed to go get the light and flick it on. I would say, I was probably about 7 steps away from the closet. I don't know. So I'd go over there. I mean, and you know a feel for your room, you know, where you can trip over things or whatever, but to go and use a bathroom or whatever, you know where the light switch is. So I go straight towards the wall and I put my hands on the wall to feel for the light fixture. And I'm like touching. And like, I don't feel the light switch. And then I'm like, I started spreading my arms around as wide as I could go. And all I felt was this smooth wall. You know, we had those little, you know, they put little like sand or something in paint so you feel that texture. I didn't feel that texture. I didn't feel the door. I didn't feel the pictures that were hanging on the wall, which were plenty. And I can't even tell you that kind of feeling of horror. I mean, I've got both of my arms spreading out wide, going down this long wall. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I found my way back to the bed. And I sit in the bed. And my sister's like, I couldn't even speak while I was touching this wall. That just went on forever. And she goes, why didn't you turn the light on? And I said, it's not there. She's like, what do you mean it's not there? I said, didn't you hear my hands rubbing all down the wall? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I couldn't find it. And she's like, oh my God. We just like huddled and just shuddered the whole night and we fell asleep that way and woke up the next morning. Like, what was that? Now, I don't know. Are we transported somewhere? I don't know. It was the strangest, strangest thing. So I just want to say, Lindsay, sometimes weird things happen. Why does that happen? I don't know. But I will conclude and say, I believe it was a hat man. And I want to tell you, thank you so much for writing me. And I want to invite everybody else to raise your right hand and say, including you, Lindsay, I will tell at least one other person about what it is that I've experienced, what I believe in. Because we have got to break down these barriers, okay? Because we can't all be suffering alone in this paranormal world any longer. So feel free, everybody, to write me at dustoutlander@gmail.com. We are going to go to a break because I've got a fantastic guest tonight. We're going to talk about UFOs. Woohoo! You are listening to me, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander on Inception Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
You didn't forget what's coming up tonight, did you? Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Never miss that interview you were looking forward to or the show on your favorite topic. Follow IRN on Twitter. I_R_N and get reminders about the evening's live shows as well as fun and important updates throughout the week. That's I_R_N and never miss a great show again.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis and I wanted to share with you guys a little bit about myself and my writings because I am a published author. I write on everything from angels to aliens, ghosts, demons, shadow people. I don't know, you name it, I do it. And I would like to invite you to go check out my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com, which shows, oh my goodness, all my books, and I think you guys will dig it. Jesus is No Joke, which is about holy encounters with Jesus, which is actually quite different than what you might expect. And then my book, The Secret War, which is based on shadow people. And I am also a cartoonist, Diary Blog of the Fickle Fighters. These are kids' cartoons that I do, and they are exploring absolutely everything that I write about in my regular books. So I invite you, please, go check out my website, HeidiHollis.com. Check out my books. I think you'll dig it. It's something different. It's something new, and I write just as I speak. So don't say I didn't warn you.
Hi, Bob Tarmack for MJsHealthyWay.com. Are you into vitamins, nutrition, meal replacements, health shakes, keeping your body in good shape, your internal engine going? Boy, do I have a perfect place for you. MJsHealthyWay.com. They offer the best service and products, and they'll tell you anything you need to know about any product they have to offer. I get all my vitamins, meal replacements, shakes from MJsHealthyWay.com. That's spelled MJsHealthyWay.com. There's so much more at the website. Go check it out. MJsHealthyWay.com.
Hello, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Remember, you can take your Inception Radio shows on the go. Just download the Inception Radio Network app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphones and access live shows, past shows, guest lineups, and much more. Just visit the iTunes Store or the Google Play Marketplace and download it today for free.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/ Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Hello, folks. Heidi Hollis is rocking the airwaves every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on IRN. But if you want to learn more about Heidi, check out her amazing website at www.heidihollis.com. For IRN, this is MJ.
From aliens to ghosts, demons to angels, and from shadow people to the outlandish, Heidi Hollis is the Outlander.
Welcome back, everybody. Listen to me, Heidi Hollis, the Outlander. Remembering always, if it's weird, we're here, and so are you, so stop staring at me, okay? We're giving you advice and insight on the craziest, outlandish topics known to mankind. And the phone lines are always open because we like to chat with you peeps. So 1-888-919-2355. And I want to welcome you now to listen to Michelle M. Deschamps, who is a former MUFON member and former provincial section director for Sudbury, I hope I said that right, Ontario, Canada, since July 1974, which I had no idea this man is 100 years old. He's had 27 separate UFO sightings, including two captured on video. He's appeared on numerous radio and television programs, and since 2007, he's worked on creating at historical UFO website, NUFORS, Northern Ontario UFO Research and Study, which has expanded to include a wide range of ufological information gathered from international sources. He presents the hard facts to the best of his abilities and encourages the reader to look at the material with an open mind and perhaps learn something new and fascinating along the way. Everybody, round of applause for Michelle Deschamps. Woo! They're just... Calm down, everybody. He's married. Michelle, how are you doing? It's been a while. I've had you on.
I'm pretty good.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I didn't get to mention your website. Can you mention that so people go and check it out?
Okay. It's NUFORS. Each letter stands for the following words: Northern Ontario UFO Research and Study. NOUFORS.
Wonderful. .com. I'm going to slap that up into the website here, the chat room, so people will know to go check it out. And my goodness, you've decided to take on quite a challenge with that website.
Actually, it was an idea originally for a book, but not know how to lay out the book. Somebody told me to suggest it that I use all the information I gathered since age 10 or even high school and put together a website for now. But I am still being urged to write a book, and I believe I'm going to start doing that. Actually, I have quite a few pages already, but I'm going to start that in winter, during which I'm usually a shut-in, except for when I have to go to work driving the snow and stuff, you know? So.
You guys are just a bit more cold than where I'm at. I'm from Wisconsin. I mean, I thought it was bitter there, but you guys just a bit higher up on the map.
Yeah.
Jeez, I could not even imagine. I think I've seen you before. What is that called? Ice Trucking? It was that TV series. Truckers hauling through that snow. Oh, they're crazy. I don't know how they do that.
I know. That's funny. A few of those are actually Americans, I guess, looking for work or they're willing to try it out.
Oh, so they're on a suicide mission. I had no idea.
Yeah. I'm not much for driving on frozen lakes and stuff, so.
No, they do that in Wisconsin. In fact, one of my friends who's listening right now, Mr. Bug Tussle Russell, he's in the chat room. He terrified a good friend of myself, just in his brand new van, just like, yeah, that lake over there is frozen there. You know that air. And I was like, oh yeah, is it? Pulls right smack dab in the middle of the lake. Terrifies my poor friend who was, from Israel that's not used to anything cold. I mean, it was a little terrifying. I'd never been in such a situation, though I'm from Wisconsin. And, that was, take a bow there, Mr. Bug Tussle. Take a bow. So that was pretty funny. But, so you don't like doing that. I just can't understand why.
Oh, well. I had a near drowning in Lake Erie back in 88. So I've just recently started going back for a swim in the Great Lakes there, from Manitoulin Island, which is the water is a lot clearer there than it is in town here. We have a self-contained lake surrounded by the city here, but the water's too dark and it's not, to me, it's not as good as going to Manitoulin Island where the Great Lakes area there, the place is called Providence Bay and the water is turquoise in color. The sandy bottom is extremely fine and it's like perfect swimming water. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a bit, interesting. Yeah. My goodness. But I wanted to ask you, so back 100 years ago, 1974, is when you had your first UFO sighting. Is that what got you intrigued and started in all of this?
I'm still not sure which one got me started, either the sighting or the interest. To me, now I look back and I think it was pretty well my destiny, I guess, I remember I was 9 years old when I had the sighting. And at that time, there was a TV series called Project UFO that came on the air. Mm. And it was the first time, like, being Francophone, Canadian Francophone, French-Canadian, I saw the words flying saucer for the first time. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to pick something to study in depth as much as possible, might as well be flying saucers. I just didn't know how much I was going to, you know, I was biting off more than I could chew. Yeah. I had no idea, you know. But the sighting, lingered in my mind for a very long time because I wasn't sure if I just had seen something on TV and it just replayed itself in my mind or if I actually had seen something. And then years later, when I lived in Niagara Falls, Ontario for a couple of years, I went to a local bookstore and I bought a Canadian book on UFOs. And sure enough, one of the chapters dealt exactly with that period of time in 1974. And it mentioned some of the sightings that took place in the area. And later on, when I bought 5 microfilm reels from the National Archives here in Canada, it turns out that I found a couple of documents that actually pertain to that incident as well. So it confirmed or reaffirmed that I had not imagined anything, that I actually saw what I saw.
Isn't that something, you know, you've been in this for a very long time, 100 years, and I'm just teasing, Michelle. I feel like you're a good friend. Now I could do this to you. but isn't it something how, you know, when people first experience seeing something like this, like the first thing they think, oh, my eyes are playing tricks on me. I'm like, hold it. Those are the same eyes you trust driving your children to school and walking and being able to handle yourself with care. I mean, but you're going to question those darn eyes, you know, this time around. Isn't that weird to you?
Well, it's 10 sightings that I've had. I would go through my own personal checklist. Helicopter, no. Aircraft, no. Satellite, no. Cloud formations, no. A temperature inversion, no. Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. You know, I think that's one of the things, I mean, you seem like a nice guy, even though you're a MUFON guy. It's okay. just kidding. But, you know, in the early days when I first was, you know, finding an interest in the whole topic of UFOs and because I'd seen some and I joined this group that, for the most part, they're alien abductees that were part of this group. I'd just seen some UFOs and I thought it'd be neat to talk to others that have seen such things. But in the early days, like the MUFON people were very much like, there are UFOs, but nobody's getting out of them, you know? And for the most part, they would just, I don't know, just poo-poo anything that a witness had seen as far as there being creatures coming out of them. So, I mean, why is that? I mean, is MUFON truly just about, you know, the nuts and bolts and, you know, but we're not having contact?
I'm not sure what I think they finally evolved into something hopefully better. But initially when I joined MUFON, I too thought, you know, that we were going to get like revelations and this and that and the other thing. And then it turns out that I had the feeling from reading their mandate that they wanted to solve the UFO mystery for themselves and they weren't really sharing the information they had gathered. I mean, I knew that as a member, I was getting the monthly journal and I was hearing about these amazing reports, which I wish had been used to educate the public or at least bring people up to speed so that, you know, groups as MUFON would stop crying out that, you know, how come nobody believes me? How come nobody's on the same page? Nobody's on the same page because nobody is being given the information that you guys have gathered.
Wow.
You know, so that was one of the, more recently I realized that was one of the behind the scenes reason why I created the website, is because I want it all out there.
Right.
This is for humanity. I know we have civilizations on this planet that are still like almost like Stone Age in technology or whatever, and others are so far advanced, like who knows what's going on behind the scenes with the military, who have done the back engineering, let's say, of whatever was recovered at Roswell and other crash sites. But the thing is, it's like there's the educational factor that's missing, and at least it was missing until recently when MUFON or whoever decided to use some of the MUFON case files and produce a show called Hangar One, the UFO Files.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is actually, they're using actual case files and finally bringing out to light of day what has been collected for years, which we've known all along. I mean, the landing cases, for instance, who knew years ago, if it hadn't been for Ted Phillips, who researched over 3,000 landing cases, who knew that 23% of those cases of landings actually involved the sighting of small occupants, sometimes leaving small footprints behind?
Wow.
Yeah, 23% of those cases.
You're telling me that MUFON essentially became a government-run entity. That's what it sounds like. Okay, so we're going to collect this, or we're going to keep it to ourselves and just among ourselves. I mean, it makes no sense. Like, were they protecting the information from the public, or were they hoarding it to hopefully make a dime? I don't get it.
That might be a reason. But like everything else, hopefully they finally decided to evolve and to realize that sitting on the information and just keeping it to themselves or hoping to solve the mystery, which I don't think it's a mystery that's ever going to be solved completely. The only realization we'll have to come around to facing is that we're just one group of people amongst a whole neighborhood of creatures living in the universe.
Yeah.
You know, we're just out in the boonies. We don't have any neighbors close by that we can go and visit, unlike some of these other people, supposedly. But that realization will have to, if it's finally come to the forefront, then I'm glad that they're finally releasing and using the information that they've collected over the years, because there's a dire need for that. I mean, and for television stations who produce documentaries on UFOs, a lot of times the documentaries themselves will be canceled out because of ratings. But the silly thing is that they don't realize is that a lot of people are interested in the paranormal. It doesn't matter if it's Bigfoot, Bermuda Triangle, ghosts, or UFOs.
All right.
Their ratings would go through the roof if they had just had enough common sense to realize that a lot want more. They want factual stuff, not the 90 or 80% crap that's being produced using CGI on YouTube, for instance. A lot of the footage on YouTube is CGI. There's very, very few gems in there that are actual UFO footage, in my opinion, because I've had seen UFOs before. I can pretty well tell apart a real UFO sighting from something that was probably faked. But it's just the information needs to be shared, because it's for humanity will not progress and be on the same page if the information is not shared. And you'll have other people crying, how come nobody believes me? How come this and that? Well, you know, the information is meant to be shared, period.
Wow. Wow. But, you know, that's so true. I mean, I just, you know, I went into this wholeheartedly, you know, trying to find answers for myself. And then when I found those answers, I did my best to share what it is that I found. You know, it's like, because that's just what you do when you're a human being with a heart beating in your chest. I don't know. But I have to say, and this has been really, awesome to see more recently, there's been some really, fascinating, fun, and inspiring MUFON members and directors, MJ, Ruben Urarte. There's several that are, you know, really taking a step forward and really putting their, you know, their best efforts out there. So I think there's a nice trend and change. And that's good. It's really good to see and hear because, for a while there, I almost felt like they were, enemies of people who dared to speak of having been abducted or something. I don't know. It was a really weird time at one point. So,
yeah.
So I'm with you. So how long were you part of that group before you decided to do your own thing?
I was a member since 1991, right up till 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you gave blood. You gave blood. You donated at the bank for them. But really believed in this, so I understand.
Well, I did. I submitted one of my own reports, let's say, to MUFON Ontario. And the report itself sat in somebody's closet for 3 years before I managed to get it back. You know, so it was obviously not being used for anything. And I don't know at that time if the internet had been into being yet. But I think now is the time that they have a really nice website, and they actually now, even through my email server, will post like the sighting of the month or something or whatever. So there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah.
They've had their problems. They've had their problems thanks to Bigelow Aerospace. The guy was a chairman or a member of MUFON, and apparently he swiped or stole or copied a lot of the MUFON reports. And for a while there was a brouhaha in MUFON, and it was in shambles. Membership, I think, was waning. But hopefully they've corrected that mistake, and hopefully they're there for humanity, to inform humanity about the latest cases. The physical evidence is what I think there's an awful lack of, even in mentioning in documentaries. Even documentaries, there's yet to be a documentary ever made about documents. Really? Yeah. I pursued that by chasing after some documents. I shared some information with John Greenwald of the BlackVault.com in California.
Yeah.
And I managed to get 10,000 files from the Australian archive. I have over 8,000 files that somebody scanned from the Canadian archives. I actually have the microfilm reels, but it helped me a lot when I found out that first there was a batch of 5,000 documents, and then later on I found a batch of 8,000 documents, which contained the original 5,000 that I had found. So I replaced the 5,000 batch with the 8,000 batch, and I also managed, with John Greenwald's help, to get the remainder of the UK downloads. They released documents on 9 separate occasions for about a window of a month each. And after that, you'd have to pay per pound. I don't know how much, what the exchange rate was, but they were selling the files. And to me, that's a crime in itself. I know people want to make money, but those documents are public domain.
Right.
Right.
And they belong to the people. And so the information therein belongs to the people. And it's there to use as an educational tool. So I guess north of the border, I have the largest amount of documents possible that I could get.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, I like that you keep that stance in that saying, this is for the people. And I think that our government's heads got so big that they forgot they work for us, you know, and it's like, we're doing it for your protection. No, you're not. You're hoarding stuff. This is not helping. It's harming.
Exactly. And the tables have turned. We've become their servant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever is going on, that people are saying, even in documentaries, I hear, well, why are they keeping it secret? It's because now I'm slowly opening my mind to the idea that possibly, they've back engineered UFO technology to such a point where they've either created something that they're actually using, or they're pretty damn close to it, and so that is something they don't want out. So that is why they're clamming up on this stuff. People have been murdered over this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like I've always said, if the U.S. government can have one of their own presidents assassinated, what else can they do?
Well, they can float ships to outer space. So, I mean, it's a happening. I mean, yeah. You know, and this is something I wrote my book, The Secret War, in 97, and I'd had some, myself and a friend had some interactions with an alien being, as odd as that may sound. And the being said that, you know, our government is already, you know, doing things way beyond that dynamite stick they shoved up a rocket's butt and shot men up to the sky as if that's really their only thing that they're able to do. And it's like now, I was essentially told, you know, they're going to suddenly have a big leap in their technology and suddenly being able to go to further outer space. And then we get this thing, oh, NASA's shutting down. I'm like, oh yeah, watch. It's going to reinvent itself and it's going to be light years in advance because they don't want to have to explain why on earth they're suddenly able to levitate, you know, the Empire State Building or something. They just don't want to explain it. Like, boy, those few years that we shut down did everything. You know, it's such a lie. We know if something major is about to explode onto the scene. And wow, I'm glad I'm alive at this time to see it happening. Well, hold on. The government is taking some of us out, aren't they? Never mind. My goodness. So, yeah, go ahead.
Something is going on. I mean, if they've canceled the space shuttle program, they've come up with something better. It's either one of two things. Either they've actually back engineered to such a point where they've actually created their like huge ships, which I think somehow there's a problem there. We might actually be, I still have my doubts. If we ever saw something lift off from the Earth that turned out to be one of ours, but we'd be reporting it as a UFO, then there's where the confusion, the waters are going to get even muddied even more. The other thing is maybe they did not build the super large ships, but maybe they've struck a deal however stupid that I think it is for some primitive monkey to strike a deal with some super advanced being that, listen, can you allow us to hitchhike a ride on your large ships so we can explore? But I'd be willing to bet that the aliens are only showing them what they want the military to see. Whoever, military or super secret group, right, whoever is flying with them or hitchhiking with them, okay, I have my doubts that the big large ship, like let's say there is cylindrical objects that are 400 to 500 feet long, up to 1,000 feet. Where the hell are they going to build this on Earth that will defy gravity to take off? Unless they have dry docks or space docks like in Star Trek, which I have my doubts. So either their ships are already in existence and they're manned by aliens and are extraplanetary or interplanetary explorers, teams or whatever, are actually hitchhiking a ride with them with whatever deal they've struck. But deals in the past have fallen through. One of the deals, the exchange supposedly that they had for alien technology was that they were allowing whoever they are, the secret group on the Earth, were allowing the aliens to abduct a certain number of people. But then when it was found out that they were abducting way more than that way they were permitted to, although I still have my doubts that we could stop aliens from doing whatever they want, the deal broke. They just broke and they went separate ways for a while.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, I think once you slit your wrists and you pour it over the satanic symbol and said, okay, deal's done, I think it's a little hard to slick up the blood again. Yeah. I think they screwed us all. I think they made a deal with the devil, kind of, you know, and then they found out, gee, we didn't see that coming, what they're doing to us now. I mean, you're right. It's really stupid for them to have made a deal with somebody that didn't understand.
Yeah, and it's like Richard Dolan says, I have one of his presentations on my site so that people can watch it for themselves, and he talks about a breakaway civilization where the people who have back-engineered UFO technology and have come up with anti-gravitic technology and zero-point energy or whatever, they've broken away from the rest of society, and they have their own little clutch that they're super advanced in technology and they're doing what they damn please doing, whatever they want to do. and they're leaving us in the dust. And you know, having to deal with fossil fuels, which are probably going to run out, because unlike our human body, the Earth cannot produce oil on demand or whatever. Once it's dried up, it's dried up. And you can only go so far deep to extract the rest of it. You know, so people are going to be stuck with really beautiful driveway ornaments with cars that they can't run anymore because we've ran out of.
And a nice clutch purse maybe too.
Yeah.
You know, I understand. I see what you're saying. This is something, I mean, I hate to reference again, but the experience that I had with this alien being had said, you know, how they sold us out and how so much was being done and how manipulation is still going on, how this alien being was essentially ratting on the whole deal that was done with them. So, but I mean, this is something that people are finally coming into awareness of, that, you know, this stuff is real. There's too many people. Now, this is what I don't get. If you're one person and you saw a murder happen, you could go and tell on the person that murdered the other and go and testify, and that person could go to prison for the rest of their lives. But if you say, an alien told me this had happened and this is what you guys are doing, you're not believed because they have that laugh factor attached. It's just crazy. Yeah. But, Michelle, we got to get to our next break here. You guys are listening to me, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander on Inception Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
You didn't forget what's coming up tonight, did you? Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners, this is Amanda. Never miss that interview you were looking forward to or the show on your favorite topic. Follow IRN on Twitter, I_R_N. And get reminders about the evening's live shows as well as fun and important updates throughout the week. That's I_R_N, and never miss a great show again.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis, and I wanted to share with you guys a little bit about myself and my writings because I am a published author. I write on everything from angels to aliens, ghosts, demons, shadow people. I don't know, you name it, I do it. And I would like to invite you to go check out my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com, which shows, oh my goodness, all my books, and I think you guys will dig it. Jesus Is No Joke, which is about holy encounters with Jesus, which is actually quite different than what you might expect. And then my book, The Secret War, which is based on shadow people. And I am also a cartoonist, Diary Blog of the Fickle Fighters. These are kids' cartoons that I do, and they are exploring absolutely everything that I write about in my regular books. So I invite you, please go check out my website, HeidiHollis.com. Check out my books. I think you'll dig it. It's something different. It's something new, and I write just as I speak. So don't say I didn't warn you.
Hi, Bob Tarmac for MJsHealthyWay.com. Are you into vitamins, nutrition, meal replacements, health shakes, keeping your body in good shape, your internal engine going? Boy, do I have a perfect place for you. MJsHealthyWay.com. They offer the best service and products, and they'll tell you anything you need to know about any product they have to offer. I get all my vitamins, meal replacements, shakes from MJsHealthyWay.com. That's spelled MJsHealthyWay.com. There's so much more at the website. Go check it out. MJsHealthyWay.com.
Hello, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Remember, you can take your Inception Radio shows on the go. Just download the Inception Radio Network app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphones and access live shows, past shows, guest lineups, and much more. Just visit the iTunes Store or the Google Play Marketplace and download it today for free.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/ Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Hello, folks. Heidi Hollis is rocking the airwaves every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on IRN. But if you want to learn more about Heidi, check out her amazing website at www.heidihollis.com. For IRN, this is MJ.
From aliens to ghosts, demons to angels, and from shadow people to the outlandish, Heidi Hollis is... Outlander.
Welcome back. You're listening to me, Heidi Hollis, the Outlander. Remembering always, if it's weird, we're here, and we're giving you advice and insight on outlandish topics. Phone lines are always open, 1-888-919-2355. But I do realize that most of you guys listen to this via the app, which is fine. I have Michelle M. Deschamps on with us tonight, and he is like taking on the world as far as UFOs are concerned. I've got an interesting question here from the chat room from Time Walker. He is saying, do you know of any studies done to see if those people who have been isolated and not exposed to the media report seeing the same types of UFOs as those people who have been exposed to the media? So indigenous folks, or, you know, what do you got to say to that?
I don't think any study's been done on that. I guess there's too much focus on UFO videos and anecdotes and reports, but that would be an interesting study. It's like with the few chances I've had of talking to some of the First Nation people on near here, this stuff goes way back in their folklore. They have no problems with sky people and the belief in their existence. It would definitely be something worthwhile checking in or looking into, and hopefully produce a book or two about it.
You know? Oh, yeah. And now you were mentioning, too, that, you know, there's been cave wall paintings and stuff.
In Australia and other places, yeah. And then also ancient structures like all over the planet. They're finding pyramids all over the planet, not just in Egypt, but there's the Mayan planet pyramids. There's also a pyramid underwater off the coast of Portugal. There's tons of structures that we don't know who built them. And the people there, the original builders, are no longer there. Where did they go? Who were they? How did they fashion some of these things with primitive tools, which I don't think they did?
I think I know where they're at. You know that special that Discovery did with the mermaids? You know that fake one where they're all living? That's where they're at. They all became mermaids. I'm just kidding. That was just hurtful that they insulted our intelligence with that one. But so what's the trend going on these days as far as UFOs are concerned? What have you been getting and what are you looking into?
Well, I recorded recently, I had a lady from Ottawa, which is our capital here in Canada. She reported a sighting that took place back in June, of 26th of June. And that audio is on my website, by the way. And then so is this one, which I got from North Carolina. It was a sighting that was witnessed by her and her boyfriend at the time in 1973. At the Dearborn Observatory in Illinois and Northwestern University, as a matter of fact, where Dale and Hynek used to be the astronomer there. And basically they were sitting in a car in a parking lot, and this object came out of the sky and just hovered over the Dearborn Observatory, and she was within 300 feet or 300 yards from the object, and she wanted to get out of the car to get a closer look, but her husband or boyfriend at the time prevented her from doing that. And she described what the object looked like. It was a very plain Jane oval shaped with I would prefer to have had a sketch from her, but the report is on my 2014 page, which is under my sightings archive. If you look up in the margin, sightings archive, it's all categorized by year. And then you click on 2014 and you'll see the two audios. Anything in blue is actually a link to either a video or an audio or another secondary page where the information will be found. But, a very interesting report. The one in Ottawa, well, she was, she's the daughter of somebody who used to work in the Canadian Armed Forces and had lived at several bases, and she knew what planes were like. And she had just gotten off the bus walking home from work, and she saw a plane on one side and four orangey red objects on the other side. And she could make out the sound of the plane, but not of the objects. And, we've been having, I guess you could say a problem with these Chinese lanterns, but a lot of reports are very similar in appearance, but the behavior is different. We've had to separate the sightings that were made of Chinese lanterns in comparison to some of these reddish orange objects or spheres that have been seen since the 40s and 50s.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
There's been lots.
Oh,
yeah, there's
gosh.
Been lots. Yeah, I think MUFON actually has cataloged over 3,000 reports since June of 2010, I think it was.
Oh.
Yeah, worldwide. Yeah.
Lots of activity. I mean, what do you think might be going on that this influx is going on?
if I were to take a leap, due to some of the more recent information, I recently met finally in person Linda Moulton Howe. She came up to Toronto for
the
Modern Knowledge Tour. Yeah, me too. Very informative, and you know, she's a human being. There's, you know, she'll be fooled like any other person. You know, there's always that element out there that's always trying to detract people from doing good work. But, when she mentioned that she had a source that told her that the aliens have been at least on Earth for 270 million years, and they may have had, their hand in creating us from whatever proto-human was here before. To me, it gives an explanation right away as to why there's so many visitations is because they're monitoring our development and to see what we're going to do next, whether we blow ourselves up using nuclear power, which I know they're totally against us using because we're really good at creating it, but not really good at disposing of it safely.
Yeah, I would say so. That's how I feel about, you know, when I had a cat in the cat litter box. I'm just kidding. They were good at creating it, but they sure didn't know where to put it. Ugh. But, I have another question. I'm wondering, are you familiar with the Stephenville, Texas incident about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Mr. Bug Tussle is asking a question. If you think that incident was a government, cover up of some sort, maybe as proof of back engineering because there's like a lack of jet cover to protect the president, or what do you suppose that was about? I'm not real familiar with this incident, so if you could explain what he's asking, I'd love it.
I don't know about back engineering. That's why I said before earlier, it'll be pretty hard for us to tell, just to set apart the real UFOs, the extraterrestrial UFOs versus the man-made UFOs, if there is such a thing. And I'm not sure that it was probably a result of back engineering. I still have a problem in having us, humans, having back engineered to such a point where we can actually create our own ships, even given 60 years and whatever type of funding they get. To me, it'd be akin to giving Christopher Columbus a nuclear sub and asking him to replicate it.
I see what you're saying. Ah,
but
okay.
But maybe we've made tremendous leaps and bounds in technology. I mean, I've never taken quantum physics in school. I never liked physics or chemistry. I was never good at it, no more than I was good at math. So
all
it's
right.
Like, who knows? Who's to say what's out there, you know, that might actually blow my mind even. But to say that all these UFO sightings are man-made or whatever, I have my doubts because jets went up after that object, just as some of the jets came after the objects here that were seen in 1975. We had an intrusion here in 1975 at the same time that they were seen over Loring Air Force Base in Maine, Wordsmith, Minot Air Force Base, and also Malmstrom Air Force Base, which all four installations were in the States. The Falconbridge Radar Base, which is no longer in existence, is just 20 miles north of here. And I grew up near there. And in 75, though I don't remember any of the incident, they sent up two F-106s from Michigan to chase after the UFOs, but the jets came here way too long after the UFOs had already left. But I have a radar technician that actually called me, and he says the returns, he was there to fix the radar or just make sure it worked, it was functioning properly. And he says what we picked up was not the four smaller objects that were in and around town. We picked up something that was maneuvering between 42,000 feet and 72,000 feet for 2 hours over a town that's about 30 nautical miles south of the base. And it was the size of an aircraft carrier, if not bigger, the biggest plane we had at that time for Canada. So I don't think that's our technology. I have a hard time believing that we've back engineered so much. And of course, if we are that good at back engineering, we would definitely use that technology. We could win every single war. Now, the thing is, maybe we're not winning every single war because war is an extremely good money-making machine. And every once in a while, when something goes wrong or somebody says, oh, we need an influx of money, well, let's create a war. So I'd be willing to bet 101 that they send either CIA operatives somewhere to start a war between two factions, and then they pull back, they watch those two factions fight each other, and then giving us a reason to go in there and do whatever damage we can do for whatever purpose. Sometimes they say it's oil, but sometimes there's no excuse at all. They have no business being there, creating wars or fighting wars that, don't concern us. So it's just a crazy story. The whole thing is just nuts. And if we were that advanced with UFO technology, we could win any war,
Very true.
The U.S. could be totally supreme in anything and ward off whatever in-flights are coming in from outer space. Now, the other thing is that's kind of funny is one of the insiders who dealt with satellites and stuff. I think one of the presenters is actually on my new page, which I created that has this, the disclosure people that Stephen Greer interviewed. He talks about how come all half of the satellites are looking away from Earth? And one guy says, oh, we can't tell you that. Oh, in other words, you're telling us who's coming. Why would satellites be looking out into space? They're not looking out for asteroids. Maybe they are.
Well, personally, I like to know who's coming for dinner. I mean, gosh, I hate those last minute interruptions. Like, man, I didn't make enough for you. Here, take some more abductees. Jeez.
Yeah. and then it's leaving those poor people with psychological problems, wondering what the hell's going on. Why are they being abducted? Well, if it is some type of being that somehow lost reproductive capabilities and they're coming back to get genetic material from us at a time that they can use whatever we produce genetically to help themselves further themselves along. It's not a question of invasion because they could have done that a long time ago. And even if the slimmest possibility of time travel exists, well, then they could just easily go back in time when we're even less weaponized than we're now and they would take us over. And I don't think that's a question. I don't think we have any fear. I don't have any fear of invasion. I don't think it's that at all. I think we're part of a large community and some are more advanced. Some may be more arrogant or aggressive, like the reptilians.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably races out there that are out, maybe not always looking out for our best interest because they have their own survival issues as well. But it's not a doomsday scenario that I see at all. I just can't explain everything that's what's going on and the reasoning behind it. Sometimes you'll see UFOs going in the sky as if they're playing tag. What's that about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen stuff like that. It's just blown my mind. It makes you wonder, though. It's like, okay, so we have cows out on the range, and then we come and grab a few of them up, and then we eat them. I wonder if they think of us as invaders of some sort. It's like, gosh, they're smarter than us. What are they doing? Where are they taking them? What's going on here? I mean, we're so blind to the truth of everything that they're up to. And it's, You know, unless you have the manual, you don't know what it's really about.
Yeah, and I think it's our fault too. We like to be laid back, and we decided to give somebody else the reins.
Yeah.
And now we're going to pay for it big time, because we need to take back control of how our countries are run. And the fact that these borders, the one thing I do, I don't vote anymore. I don't vote. I pledge my full allegiance to the planet in its entirety, not just to Canada, not just to the U.S. I pledge my allegiance to the planet, because that's how the aliens see us. They see us as one people, one planet.
Oh, that's true.
No matter what the color.
We can't say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore in this country, so we can't pledge to anything, but I like the planet. I think they should allow that to be done in the schools then, because we would say one nation under God, and the poor atheists, they started crying and you know, we don't want our children to go to heaven, you know, stop saying God's watching them. So it was, yeah, so they can't really do that anymore. It's so bizarre here in this country. I like that, you know, and I believe, wasn't it, what was it that Ronald Reagan had said, you know, what if there was an alien threat?
That we would band together.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That we would band together as one planet, not as, this is my, you know, don't go over the line right here. This is mine. You know, it's so true. People really need to start looking at it the way that you do. And I hope people pull their heads out of their backside and start to realize this, because it gets so old. You know, I mean, people that I really consider to be intelligent people, good people, and you talk a little bit on these topics and they're like, I have limits on this. It's like, what do you mean? Limits on knowledge? This is truth. I wouldn't sit here and tell you a story. I mean, you do know me, don't you? It's like, isn't that bizarre to you? Have you come across like a lot of people? I'm sure you have, since you've been doing this for 100 years. that have, you know, really just like, you're chasing a ghost. This is not going to happen. Why are you doing this? I mean, what do you tell them?
Well, the guys that I work with, or some of them, not all of them, but some of them that I work with actually say I'm on something. You know what? I've never taken drugs in my life. I've been offered 3 times, I think, in high school, taking pot. I've never tried anything, except I have to take medicine now for my thyroids, which are no longer existing because they took them out due to a non-cancerous tumor.
Oh, my.
I work with skeptics, and I laugh when I see them playing with their cell phones and watching these stupid videos on there, and I said, my God, you guys have, if that's just an inkling of what's going on worldwide, how we've all become techno slaves, and we've got these little distractions that keeps us from asking the really important questions, then we're in trouble. Because, and it's bad enough that we've been really, really bad at taking care of our planet. Never mind opening our eyes to this other stuff, which could lead to better energy, that cleaner than nuclear or whatever, and maybe propel everybody on the same page and have a better lifestyle, better way of living, better way of producing food, better way of feeding ourselves and feeding the poor. You know, there's so much we could probably do with that kind of technology instead of using for weapons and stuff, and these little distractions. You know, today I see that people can run down all the scores from and stats from their favorite hockey team or whatever, but then you ask them about UFOs, they know nothing, or they think it's all hogwash.
DGI.
And yet, those are the same things as back in Roman times, where they had the games to distract the people from asking the questions while their politicians were doing something behind the scene. It's the same damn thing.
I
find it ridiculous that hockey players are being paid millions of dollars to use a piece of stick chasing a piece of rubber on the ice.
I feel the same way about all these basketball stars and football stars. It's like, you know what? I like playing sports more than watching it. And these guys have been playing games their whole lives, and they're getting paid out the wazoo. And they're not even from the city and state that they're representing more than half the time, you know? It's like, come on. You don't represent Wisconsin. You're not even from here. This is the first time you're stepping over here to be a Packer. I mean, it's so weird. It's like, we're not representing things. But you know what's so funny? I mean, since you've been doing this for 100 years, I'm just teasing you, Michelle. But it's like, you know, do you remember the days when it's like, if you wanted to learn something about this stuff, you had to get off your butt, Get your keys, get in the car, and go meet somebody and talk to them. Now you could go, gee, I was wondering if this exists. And 2 seconds later, you Google it. Oh, there's the answer. I'm done. Well, I got to go get something to eat. I mean, it's just, they're not working for it. So I think they take it for granted to a certain extent where it's like, pshaw, whatever, you know, CGI, I've learned how to do this too. It's not real. Yeah. So they don't take it as seriously, I think, because they didn't have to work for it like some of us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just wish that the people who are producing all the fake stuff, real case files to go around 10,000 times over without faking a single bit of video for YouTube. You know? And the ones that are faking UFOs on YouTube, they have no idea what real UFOs look like because the ones they portray on YouTube clips are the same ones we use in science fiction films. We can tell there's got all kinds of gizmos attached to the hull of the ship when in fact real UFOs are so plain Jane in appearance. Boring. It's, you know, you're talking about a 50-foot oval with the one green flashing light on one end and one steady red light on one end, and that's it. You don't see any other detail because they're so brightly lit. Yeah. And yet you've got these UFOs on YouTube where the appendages are coming out and retracting back inside the UFO as they're flying in front of a real skyline, you know? It's like, oh my God. It's like, you can tell right off the bat, and it's like, what a waste of time, you know, and those are the non-believers that will produce those things and try to make us look ridiculous. But in fact, they're the ones who are ridiculous.
Yeah,
they will be vindicated one day.
Oh, I think so. When they come and scoop them all up and eat them in a burger. But, but, and then they'll be like, you were right. Crunch, crunch. You know, what can you do? But you know, there's three things that I know that when I post about it on Facebook, I am guaranteed to be blasted into outer space, that this is, I'm silly for supporting such a thing or believing in such a thing. And these are my three. Support for Obama, belief in miracles or belief in Obama, and belief in UFOs or video. I will be attacked. I mean, it's like, hate Obama, what are you doing? Miracles, that's not for real. And then it's UFOs, oh, CGI. I mean, it's the same three pieces of, you know, attacks that you are guaranteed to get. I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, I want people to get your, what's that?
Well, about the website, that's exactly why I created the website too. It's an additional reason why I find all these reasons after I've built the website and it's still evolving. I realize I look back and say, man, I'm pretty proud of it because I even got a phone call from Japan asking permission to use a photo in a UFO documentary they're doing. And they wanted to know if the photo was copyrighted. It says, no, it's not. I had the phone call and an email asking for that all the way from Tokyo. That's pretty
beautiful.
Cool.
That is nice. You know, most people just steal stuff from me and take off the copyright and just put in their books, their websites, alter the image. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. But yeah, I want people to get your website again if you could put it out there.
Okay, it's www.newforce.com. New Force stands for Northern Ontario UFO Research and Study.
Beautiful.
NewForce. NUFORS.com.
And you're going to get a book together. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's this guy, Jeff Kenney. He wrote this book. I mean, you might have heard of it, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. He first posted it in its entirety online, and then he just copy-pasted it, put it in a book, and whoa, it's a worldwide bestseller. So I think it would be worth your time to pull all of that you do have. And a lot of people don't like to flitter through flitter through a website. They like a book. They like an ebook even. They like things that are
and
tidy like that.
Yeah. I've talked to people here and they prefer an actual book compared to even an ebook. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I've been getting a lot of that lately too. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, so, you know, even if you're copy pasting and you're not changing it a whole heck of a lot, you know, just pull it together and, you know, I'm always here. I'm always saying, you know, if you need advice on how to get stuff published, I'm all for giving people advice on it because boy did I struggle. It's like, so, you know, I'm all for it. I wish somebody helped me at one point, but you know, what can you do? But, you know, I really commend you for what it is that you're doing and what you're aiming for. And people are really digging you in the chat room and they like what you stand for. And, I mean, it's so important. It's so important to just, you know, share your opinion. I mean, so you're doing the book and where else are you going with this? I mean, what's your ultimate goal with everything?
Well, I kind of miss doing public presentations, even locally here. So I'm trying to find a hall that I can rent at a reasonable price, like almost on a regular basis, and get back to that, as well as field work too. I mean, I'm to actually be on a landing at a landing site case or talking to somebody in person, which I've done a couple of times to get their stories on tape. I mean, and then convert that to an MP3 so I can put on the website. Though that's the best. I mean, my friends are accusing me of becoming an armchair researcher, but then a lady recently told me, says that sometimes the best research is done from an armchair. But field work is fun, and lecturing in front of people, and me, the better, the larger the number of people. I mean, the most I think I've done was 50 people, but if I could be in front of a crowd of 300, 400, I'd be thrilled.
You know what I've learned? You know, sometimes you got to hunt these people down and just say, I'm available. Come and have me come speak to you guys. I mean, just, you know, ring me up. I'll be there. You know, sometimes you just got to hunt them down. Well, Michelle Deschamps, I want to thank you. Voulez-vous. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend. And definitely, I'm going to have you on a whole heck of a lot more. So get ready for it.
Yeah, anytime. I really appreciate it. Anytime I'm able to do it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Count me in.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So you guys, once again, we have come to the bottom of another awesome program. Remember, you can catch me here every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. You've been listening to me, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander on Inception Radio Network. Remembering always, if it's weird, we're here. Good night, everybody.